You're listening to the Saturday Night Special, exclusively on the TKR Live Broadcasting Network.
Some experts claim to be a Bigfoot scream. It is regarded as the highest quality audio of the creature ever captured.
Sheldon Andreas is not a fascist. He's a pastor. He's also a trucker. He's a member of the Freedom Convoy, and we're grateful to have him join us tonight from Ontario. Mr. Andreas, thanks so much for coming on. A fascist, really. So tell us why you're doing this, if you would.
Yeah, well, probably mostly for the same reasons that a lot of these other guys are out here doing this. There's just been a stifling of freedom and a stifling of unity in Canada for 2 years. A lot of people are down. A lot of people are fired. Man, you can't even go into a grocery store without getting into an argument about a mask or whatnot. So what really drove me to do this is the smiling faces that I seen on the people that organized it. Like a good friend of mine helped to put this together, and it's just been wonderful to see all the smiling faces that have come together. And it doesn't matter, Christians, non-Christians, all sorts. The natives are out with banging their drums. It's just a wonderful sensation to see unity, you know, once again in Canada.
Well, it's beautiful to watch from below your border. I have to say, you're being snarled at, but you're smiling back. The government seems to be doing all it can to prevent you from peacefully protesting its, speaking of fascist, policies. But you're doing it anyway. Are you worried about the repercussions?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I mean, some of my friends have been arrested for pastoring their churches. We're fully prepared to smile and push through for the greater good, Tucker. We want to see Christ glorified in the church and out of the church. So we're pushing forward. Come with me.
So why, I shouldn't even pose this to you. Let me just say, you seem much more like a civil rights hero than a fascist to me. Are any media in Canada supporting you, or at least arguing that you should have a right to express your views?
Yeah, not that I know of, Tucker. I think maybe Rebel News is putting out some positive stuff about the movement, but the mainline media is much the same in the USA. These guys are not our friends. They're coming after us. They're slandering really good people. Man, some of the stuff they're saying about really good people dragging their names through the mud, it's shameful. So no fascists here. Moms and dads and kids standing around a bonfire beside me where the convoy came through here about, I don't know, half an hour ago. Standing here, you know, with their kids, enjoying a fire with people they haven't, you know, got to hang out with for a very long time.
I got to say, it's just so thrilling to see this, having watched Canada, such a beautiful country, a wonderful country, descend into this darkness, and to see someone like you standing up cheerfully is really affirming. So thank you. Sheldon Andreas, good luck.
Yeah, you're welcome, Tucker. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hope your wheels keep on rolling and your bandit stays on tight. Hope the wind is at your back and there ain't a bear in sight. Hope your load is on the money and you get some sleep tonight. Good luck, good trucking tonight. Hope the chicken coops are closed and you can ride without a care. Hope the toll booths are broke and you ain't got to pay no fare. Hope your coffee stays real hot and your favorite place you can grab a bite. Good luck, good trucking tonight. Hope your rig runs like a top and your engine keeps it cool. Your bridge is all a 16.5 and your road is straight and smooth. Hope you quit when you want to quit. Hope you ride when you want to ride. Good luck, good trucking tonight. D.O.T., he lets you be, and he doesn't shake you down. Hope your detour's a detour, you can bypass every town. Hope the rain stays out of your way, and the four-wheel traffic's light. Good luck, good trucking tonight. Hope your run ain't Ohio, Louisiana's I-10. But if it is, I tell you, friend, you might best take it slow. Hope the log puts a log, and the good Lord treats you right. Good luck, good trucking tonight. Hope your rig runs like a top and your engine keeps it cool. Hope your bridge is all a 16.5 and your road is straight and smooth. Hope you quit when you want to quit. Hope you ride when you want to ride. Good luck, good trucking tonight. I hope you quit when you want to quit. Hope you ride when you want to ride. Good luck, good trucking tonight.
That's true. The Canadian truckers, you've been reading about it, who are resisting bravely these lawless mandates, are doing more to defend American freedom than our own leaders by far. And we want those great Canadian truckers to know that we are with them all the way. They are. They've really shown something. And another thing we'll do, and so many people have been asking me about it, if I run and if I win, we will treat those people from January 6th fairly. We will treat them fairly. And if it requires pardons, we will give them pardons because they are being treated so unfairly.
Spies. What a fucking time to be a hooker in Ottawa. All these fucking convoys rolling in with their fucking payouts from GoFundMe going out today. I mean, boys, don't forget to support local. Your girls needs it too. It's always nice to support local even though you're there for a reason. Damn, they're gonna make more money than OnlyFans.
Oh,
I can't do it. We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Oh, yeah.
And thing sucks.
Nah, Bill, it don't suck so bad tonight. Lots of good stuff going on tonight. I see we got Infamous Tourist in the chat. Haven't seen him in a while. And by the way, happy birthday, Uncle Ted. And here's hoping for many more. I believe, do we have a Tony Castle?
We do have a Tony Castle, yeah.
Oh, well, see, all kinds of good things are happening. And do we have an ace?
Sure do.
Well, that's another great thing happening. We don't have a Hate Farmer tonight, but he had a very good reason. And so I gave Hate Farmer the night off. Hot takes. Alex McNabb says Asmodor is my favorite right wing streamer. Hopefully down the road I can hang out with you guys instead of Sven and Mike. What the fuck? Well, I mean, you have good taste in right wing streamers, that's all I know.
I don't know the whole history on him, but did he go by his name Alex McNabb and not get doxxed for several years, and then finally they looked up his name and got him fired from wherever he was working?
Yeah, as a paramedic or something like that. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But listen, guys, we can't start off with the small talk tonight because our on the ground reporter, the greatest correspondent in the history of the Great White North, TRS's man at the Ottawa desk, with the Reverend Chad Kroger, is here to give us an update. Reverend Chad, go ahead and unmute yourself. You are on the air, sir. And remember, you got to push the little blue button and make it, or click it and make it green, and then you are on the air. Oh, well, I guess we can do a little small talk until we... Oh, there he comes. Here he comes.
Hello.
Hello, Reverend Chad.
I am in the frozen Arctic tundra.
Yes.
What would you like to know, Asmodor?
I would like to know...
I know you're a very, very evil man. We all are. We must talk amongst ourselves about general philosophy. What would you like to know what's going on in Ottawa?
Well, from what I have read... and on places like that are sympathetic to your cause, on places like Revolver.News and so forth, is that it has turned from like a party protest into more of a good-natured revolution down there. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Well, I saw a lot of really cool video where the truckers decided to just park their rigs all around I think it was, what do they call it, Parliament Hill or whatever, right around the Parliament building and Trudeau's residence and all. And I've been monitoring left-wing blue check Twitter, and boy, are you guys causing some butthurt in the people that don't like this whole thing.
Okay, so the story today is, according to my father, because I've been busy at this thing, so I can't be running around looking at news. Trudeau has gone to a secondary redoubt to hide.
Yes, and he has commandos guarding him. He's scared to death.
He has the most elite, like these guys in JTF-2, which is Joint Task Force 2. I'm quite familiar with the military here. These guys protect him. They hate him. They hate him.
Yeah.
But... Well, what do you do? They have psychological profiles done, so they're never going to kill the leader and all that stuff, and posse comitatus and all. Everyone hates Trudeau.
Yeah. Well, it seems like it would be a good idea on Trudeau's part if he wasn't, you know, owned by the cosmopolitan elites, or we'll call it, or the Jews. If he wasn't owned by the Jews, he would come out and talk to the people out there and, you know, hear their grievances and address them and everything like he did with BLM and all, but he's not doing that. He's running away and hiding.
No, he should come and take a knee to us now.
Exactly, exactly. If anybody deserves it, it's you guys. Well, so I've been reading anywhere from 50,000 to 100,000 people, and I've also been reading that those are the numbers with the largest two convoys that contain 58,000 trucks haven't even made it into the city yet because of all the bridges being closed and so forth. Can you confirm that the numbers are, I mean, I know you haven't gone around and counted everyone, but can you confirm the numbers are huge like that?
I don't believe there was ever 58,000 trucks coming.
Yeah.
There are thousands. I was talking to Mrs. Reverend Chad Kroger tonight, and she said, and I told her that she should be here too, because it is really a fun fest of freedom up here right now compared to the normal stuff that goes on with all bureaucrat fucking assholes in Toronto. And hold on, I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. It happens to me all the time. You were telling the Mrs. Kroger that she should come because it's a fun party atmosphere, right?
Yeah, and in the first place, I thought, okay, they're going to do the Fed stuff, and they're going to do, you know, the Charlottesville and all that stuff. So me and some guys agreed we shouldn't bring our wives with us, and now all those fucking guys are ordering hookers tonight, the dirty bastards.
Yeah. they're going to get a rash. Tell them.
Well, they might get a rash, all right. Actually, I think I can hear the heads banging across the wall right now.
Oh yeah, that's the terrible thing about being in a hotel full of hookers is all the head ports banging against the wall, right?
Every hotel in Ottawa right now is filled with people that think like we do.
Mm-hmm.
And hookers.
Right. And why not? I mean, if you're married, of course, but you know, if you're not, why not?
We're libertarians. You do whatever you want to do.
I guess so. Have the weed stores shelves gone empty yet?
I don't know. I don't do that shit.
I know, but you were reporting on the brisk business at the weed stores yesterday.
I didn't attend any weed stores today. I went to Parliament Hill, and Parliament Hill was filled with just all everyone that everyone is listening to you, Asmodor.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that was at Parliament Hill today, walking anywhere in this area of Ottawa, you would call a friend.
Cool.
I went to Parliament Hill. So I lost my buddies. I went to Parliament Hill. It took like 30 minutes to get into Parliament Hill because people are going in and going out. And there was thousands of people there. I have no idea how many thousands. I have no idea. I have no way to count that. I suppose I could use like Google shit and figure that out. The first people I meet while I was trying to delete shit from my phone so I could record more stuff were people from about 500 miles from here. And I heard this guy say, I really wish I could have a beer. So I told the guy, I said, open up my backpack and grab one.
Yeah.
And then his wife said, I have to go for a piss. And our hotel is 12 kilometers away from here. And so I told her, I said, no. If you have to go for a piss, because there's no porta potties or anything here, I said, I'm going to bring in my hotel room. So I brought them to my hotel room. They had a shit, they had a piss, whatever they had to do. Went back to Parliament Hill, and it was done. Everyone's cool. The only thing that happened today is some guys that were a little bit ahead of us in one line on Wellington Street in Ottawa. One guy was drunk or on drugs or something, and he started saying he was going to kill the cops. And he was subdued by civilians quickly, and that didn't happen.
Right.
We ended up.
Well, that's good. That's good. You guys are watching out for that. I guess since you've been busy attending, you haven't seen a lot of these reactions from the locals who are not necessarily even locals, but just, you know, all these blue checks on Twitter and people posting on Facebook. Here's one that I found interesting. Someone who calls herself Evolutionary says, Our kitty fear pooped in our bed, among other places. She never has accidents outside of the box. I'm livid, my poor little girl. I feel so terrible for the pets of downtown.
I don't want to poop in our box.
But you know who else is fear pooping is Justin Trudeau. But and here's another one. This is Mark BBBM posts, my mental health can't take this any longer. I almost threw up from the constant honking at my office. I hope our members of parliament are safe and secure before things get bloody tonight. I want to fucking die. So you guys have literally put the fear of death in the, or not the fear of death, you have made it so that they desire death. They want the sweet release of death. So I'd say you're doing a great job.
Am I still here?
Yes.
Well, we're going to drive these fucking people to kill themselves, these fucking cocksuckers.
Yeah.
Okay. How many words can I not say? Eight?
Well, you know, just use your best judgment. If it's one of the gamer slurs, use another term for it.
All right. I think I said what I was going to say last night.
Yeah. Again. You said prairie in words. Yeah.
I'm not going to do that again because I'm not a racist.
Okay.
The city of Ottawa has been infiltrated over the last 30 years, and I've seen it because I went to university here back in the 80s. Communists. They don't even know they're communists.
Right.
All of the books. Okay. Hold on a minute. I'm going to do this very slow. There was a bunch of books burned back in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
The people who wrote those books appear to have come to Columbia University.
Well, absolutely, yeah. You're talking about, I mean, we can be a little specific about that. You're talking about the Jewish professors who came and formed the Frankfurt School at Columbia University. Absolutely, yes.
The Frankfurt School fucked up the whole university system. I saw it happen when I was leaving it, and I got fucking angry. And should they be here? No.
No, absolutely not. And, I think that we should have another book burning. It's too bad that you guys don't have a whole bunch of those books. You know, that would be a great way to cap the whole thing off. Just a nice big bonfire of LGBTQ and communist propaganda. Wouldn't that be neat?
Often on a Sunday night when I'm having, I'll give you a Sunday night scenario. My father's 80. My mother's 82. I have an aunt or a cousin, I guess, who's like second cousin, whose father was a war hero, and all my guys went to the war and they got in all that shit, and we start talking, and every time, it always comes up, well, we saved the world for democracy, wow. and then I tell them, we should have burnt the books here,
yeah. Oh, absolutely. We've got a super chat for you, Reverend Chad. Follow the White Rabbit wants to know. He says, what's the Rev been drinking? Better not be the cheap shit? ?
Right now, I'm drinking Michelob Ultra because I like to keep a thin figure for the revolution.
There you go.
And Smirnoff Vodka. And I'm not contributing to the degeneracy of the guys next door who are probably banging hookers and snorting cocaine.
Right, right. Well, you know, Reverend Chad, I'm surprised to hear a Canadian, I'm not ashamed or anything, but I'm just surprised to hear a Canadian drinking American beer like that, because, you know, they say American beer is like sex on a boat. You know why they say that, right?
No, I do not.
Because it's fucking close to water.
Yeah, I get it.
Hey-o.
Yeah, where's Ed McMahon? Tony's supposed to jump in there and laugh.
Yeah, that's a 1980s joke.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, I'm a 1980s kind of guy. So I was looking at drone footage of the area around Parliament Hill. And just based on my experiences going to concerts, I went to concerts as a youth at the same venue over and over. And I knew the count of people that were in there. And it was a little over 20,000 at the venue when it was sold out. And based on what that looked like, I would say that there were at least 40 or 50,000 people in that drone footage right there in the few blocks around Parliament Hill.
I think you'd be correct.
I mean, this thing is huge. Well, what's the plan? I mean, is this thing going to just, are they planning to just keep this thing going or what?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, does there appear to be any kind of central leadership or anything, or is everybody basically just doing their own thing?
There's some central leadership that is, really bullshit.
Yeah. So,
can I be the central leader? Yes.
But yes, we nominate press one for Reverend Chad Kroger to be the Fuhrer of the Canadian uprising.
if I become the central Fuhrer, there's going to be millions and millions and millions of deaths.
Well, all by accident, I'm sure.
I'm just joking around, dude.
I know.
I just hope that one day I can show my grandchildren a history book and they can read that Chad Kroger was responsible for 6 million deaths in Canada.
Do they have 6 million people to spare?
If I'm ever going to kill 6 million people, it's going to be exactly 6 million people.
Yeah, the number's important. Numerology, yeah. And all that.
Well, so are there more big events planned for tomorrow that you know of, Reverend Chad? And how long are you going to be there, you think?
I think the whole thing is done. And I'm going back to the airport, getting a limo or a cab or whatever, and leaving downtown. Or we could take underground public transport, which I haven't taken public transport in many, many years, decades.
Yeah.
I think we're probably going to leave because my wife needs me to go back home and give her a good banging.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah. You don't want her sitting around getting all upset because she's not getting plumbed properly.
Well, the problem is that there's more N-words in my neighborhood than there ever were.
Oh, no.
So maybe she's looking for something large and wide. Am I being stealthy enough with my conversation?
Yeah. Well, let's hope that's not the case. We don't want David Allen co-writing the soundtrack of your marriage. So you think that most of the people who are there now are going to disperse by tomorrow?
I think that Ottawa will be cleaned out by Monday morning.
Okay.
Which is the 31st. I'm going back to work. My wife and I own a business. One of us has to run it.
Yeah.
I wish she was here with me to see this because there's a lot of people here that spend a lot of money. And excuse my voice. I've been drunk while I've been talking to you.
Yeah, we can tell, but that's okay. That's okay. We're happy to have you and have the report.
There are so many people here who are against all this bullshit. And we're not worried about the vaccine or whatever. You know, we don't want more government overreach.
Right. You don't want more lockdowns. You don't want more mandates and all that, right?
And you've all seen this happening. Well, and there are a lot of truckers around. It's all cool. Everything's fun. I think I was thinking last Sunday, I'm not going. And I talked to my dad, and he said, I'm too old to worry about this shit.
Yeah.
It's your job to worry about the geopolitical nonsense and stuff now.
Right.
You go do whatever you got to do. So anyway, so I'm here. I'm in Ottawa. I got to go to sleep, man. I'm wasted drunk.
Okay. Well, we're gonna let you go for now, Reverend Chad. But before we do, I was just wondering, I'm sure you're not aware, but did you know that so many Americans are trying to cross the border to get into Canada? And of course, they've got the border closed down to not let them in. But so many Americans are trying to cross the border to come into Canada to support what you guys are doing, that the lines at the borders, some of them are 8 miles long.
Well, what I would do, as I would always suggest with my general family Sunday dinners, is we build the big trebuchet.
Mm-hmm.
And we put all of the illegal immigrants into it.
Right.
And we launched them into shark-infested waters.
Oh, okay. Okay. That sounds good to me. Well, Reverend Chad, go ahead, Tony.
For our American listeners, a trebuchet is like a Canadian catapult, right?
Huge catapult.
Yeah, it's a great big catapult that's
I'm going to put fucking Trudeau in a trebuchet tomorrow.
Yeah, trebuchet has a double fulcrum, I believe, and the catapult has one. I think that's the difference. But anyway, it has a counterweight, says Nordic Frost. But anyway, Reverend Chad, we certainly appreciate you calling in. Is there any final thought that you want to impart before we let you go and get your much deserved rest?
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Never, ever, ever give up on the fact that you are going to live a free life in your world. Go against anything that the government says that you're saying, whether the church believe everything, whatever you think is wrong, go on, follow it. End this bullshit that's going on in our world. And I really don't like to be fucking shit all this overall shit. But I think we really have to think that this is really a communistic approach to take over our world.
Yeah, well, I think you guys are...
We have to get rid of communism. It has to end.
Yes, sir.
Communism all goes to the Lower East Side of New York City.
Well, Reverend Chad, I just want to say, you guys up there in Canada are setting a great example. You're showing us how it's done, and we certainly appreciate the call. And I want to wish you a good evening, sir. And if anything happens that you want to report in on, feel free to raise your hand again. And I also want to say, Reverend Chad, and I think I speak for Tony and Ace and everyone in the chat as well, we love you. No homo.
Yes, yes, I concur.
Well, I hope Reverend Chad heard that. He didn't answer, so anyway, good night, Reverend Chad.
It's so unfortunate that I have to keep this shitty headset mic on mute when I'm not talking, because you would have heard me wheezing and laughing in the background. But I am very grateful to the good Reverend to call in and keep us updated. So thank you for that, Reverend Chad.
And I want to, because the Reverend Chad's reporting has been so great, including tonight, I want to throw out a dedication to Reverend Chad. Reverend Chad, this is dedicated to you and to all the other great Canucks up there fighting the evil cosmopolitan elites. Here we go.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
good day. Welcome to our single. I'm Bob McKenzie, and this is my brother Doug. How's it going, eh?
Beauty, eh?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Okay, everyone. This record was my idea.
Get out.
It was. You're lying. Pete Hosehead here just sort of rid on my coattails.
Why are you doing this? It was our idea together, eh?
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
okay.
We agreed to say that, but...
Oh, take off.
Say your name.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
Okay, so good day. Our topic today is music.
That's right. Like, because my brother and I are now experts in the field,
yeah,
eh?
Right, because we're a band now. And,
yeah.
Well, so, except for him. I'm a band.
Oh, how can you do that, making me look bad? You're such a hose hand.
Yeah, well, take off.
Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go.
Listen to this, what's coming. You know what it is?
What?
It's a drum solo.
Okay, everyone, like, this is me on the drums,
oh,
eh?
Get out. It is not.
It is so.
Stop lying, will you?
Take off, eh? Oh.
Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off.
Beauty, eh?
Like magic, eh? It's coming in.
Well, that's
like... Like it was sung by angels.
Hey, Hosehead.
Yeah, what?
Guess what?
What?
It's over.
Hang on, that can't be.
It is, yeah. It is.
Because, like, well, hit records are short.
Like, no way.
Yeah, they're not that long. Okay, so that's our topic for today. So, good day.
Good day.
Hey, you guys.
What?
Take off.
Hey, no. Hey, don't go.
No, come back, eh?
Oh, look what you did. Everybody's gone.
You.
Come back.
I won't let him do it again.
Yeah. My fault was, yeah, your
yeah,
fault.
You're such a hoser.
There's no way I'll ever do another record with you, hoser. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I'll do a solo album.
Fine, and you'll be looking for me another label.
Oh, now everybody's gone. Good day.
Good day.
Oh, yes. Get in, hoser. We're headed to Ottawa. So what did you think, Tony? I think we should win a Pulitzer Prize for our man on the ground reports.
It would be the most well-earned Pulitzer Prize in a long time.
Absolutely, absolutely. And let's just hope that many more interesting things happen in Canada so that we can get more reports from the Reverend Chad Kroger. But yeah, press one in the chat for the Reverend Chad Kroger, everybody. What a great couple of appearances. And two very different appearances, I might say, but what a great couple of appearances he had. Let's see, Tony, you weren't here last night, right?
No, and I haven't had a chance to look at the replay yet either.
Well, you need to do that. The Reverend Chad was totally on point, as he was tonight, but as I said, in a different way. So let's get to some coverage. This is from CBC. Thousands opposed to COVID-19 rules coverage converge. Excuse me, COVID-19 rules converge on Parliament Hill. Now, the title to this article is deceptive. The title to this article should be "Trudeau flees home in terror as trucker convoy approaches." That's what it should say. But the lead, the subheadline, as you might call it, says Trudeau and his family have been moved from residence over security concerns. A convoy of thousands of truckers and other protesters converged on Parliament Hill Saturday to call for an end to COVID-19 vaccine mandates and other public health restrictions. A raucous demonstration that has police on high alert for possible violence, even as organizers urge the crowd to be peaceful. Hundreds of protesters on foot flooded into the parliamentary precinct on Saturday in the midst of an extreme cold warning, joining a lineup of truckers that started to arrive on the scene late Friday night. They were later joined by other drivers and demonstrators from all regions of the country that, in some cases, traveled thousands of kilometers. And, you know, in American, I think that's like hundreds of miles, I don't know, to take their message to the streets outside of the Prime Minister's office in the downtown core. Police said as many as 10,000 people were expected to be on hand by day's end, but by Saturday evening, the force did not have an official estimate of the crowd size. Also that evening, the group organizing the convoy sent out a schedule for Sunday's events, including a prayer and press conference. The convoy has snarled traffic throughout the region, clogging arteries that lead in and out of the city center. Law enforcement urged everyone to avoid travel to the downtown as it deals with the surge of people. The Rideau Center, a major shopping center only steps from the main protest site, was closed early after it was overrun with maskless patrons defying provincial rules for indoor spaces. Oh, God. The many trucks that have gathered along Wellington Street in front of the Parliament buildings are adorned with banners denouncing public health measures and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Some warn that communism will take hold in Canada if COVID-19-related restrictions continue. Dozens of truckers blasted their horns throughout the day and into the evening. Amid security concerns, Trudeau and his family have been moved from their home to an undisclosed location in the nation's capital, sources said. Hate Farmer predicted this. Hate Farmer last night said that he predicted that Trudeau would break his ankle while escaping a bathhouse using a prison rope made from dildos. The protest, while loud and disruptive, has been peaceful to this point. As of 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, no charges have been laid against any of the protesters, a spokesperson for the Ottawa Police Service said. The police said at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, no incidents of violence or injuries had been reported. A demonstration that was originally planned to urge the federal government to drop its vaccine mandate for cross-border essential workers like truckers has morphed into a larger movement against all public health measures. A number of the people assembled, many of whom are not truckers, said they were on hand to pressure the government to end pandemic-related restrictions and return to normal. The event has also attracted some more extreme voices who have called for violence with no citation given there. Roughly a dozen protesters had parked their vehicles on the side of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Ottawa's National War Memorial earlier Sunday. The cars and trucks were removed by midday after orders from local police. Parking on this sacred ground was a sign of complete disrespect, Ottawa Mayor Jim Watson said. They're making it sound like they parked on the cenotaph itself, you know, on the empty tomb. I doubt that happened. Later, protesters were seen dancing on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, prompting condemnation. Now, I wonder if these were provocateurs, because the people who are going to this thing seem like patriotic Canadians to me. They don't seem like the type of people that want to dance on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, right? I said cenotaph. It's not a cenotaph. If it's got an unknown soldier in it, it's an actual tomb. But that seems weird to me, doesn't it, to you, Tony?
Yeah.
And I saw a picture. They're posting a picture of some female that they claim was doing that on Twitter. And she very much looks like that she could like be the star of a video on the libs of TikTok Twitter. You know, at any rate, it says Defense Minister Anita Anand. Oh, there's one of your problems right there. Your defense minister is named Anita, which means it's either a female or a transgender. Called the behavior of protesters beyond reprehensible. The NDP called it despicable and denounced symbols of hate seen in the crowd. Demonstrators also adorned a statue of Terry Fox, the cross-country runner who inspired the nation with his marathon of hope, with anti-vaccine material and a defaced Canadian flag. Conservative leader Aaron O'Toole similarly condemned the actions of those involved with the incidents at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and Terry Fox statue. So see, out of all this, tens of thousands at least, people who attended this thing, and were so peaceful that nobody was arrested. There were no reported incidents of violence or anything. They are going to focus a huge part of their coverage on allegedly two or three people that were dancing on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier who were either provocateurs or were so retarded they didn't know what they were standing on.
Yeah, yeah, because this thing has nothing to do with the report. And tens of thousands of people in Canada is, you know, it's like a the entirety of a major city up there. This,
yeah.
For there to be no violence or anything like that, you very rarely see that here in the United States. And two, yeah, why would these people go out of their way? Like, hey, we have this big, huge, great optics, very supported by the populace, like a very popular protest going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let me just take some time out of my day to go dance on this grave of the unknown soldier, which I don't really know the background of that, but I assume it's some sort of patriotic support for somebody who died for Canada. I don't know.
Well, yeah, every country has a Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, often it's a cenotaph, an empty tomb, doesn't actually have anybody in it, but it's a monument to all the soldiers who have died in the service of your country. We have a Tomb of the Unknown Soldier here in America. At any rate, here's a quote. I support the right to peacefully protest, but that should not be confused with blatant disrespect for the men and women who have served, inspired, and protected our country. He said in a statement saying the individuals in question should be ashamed. In another instance, a can of beer was thrown at a journalist covering the protest. Protesters also set off fireworks as the evening began, which Ottawa police said Saturday should not be used downtown. The many flags flown in the crowd reflected the divergent groups that are calling for an end to mandates. Some of the protesters carried Canadian flags, while others held placards that urged people to think for yourself, a slogan used in anti-vaccine circles. Some demonstrators were seen flying the Patriotes flag, a nod to Lower Canada rebellions of 1837 to 38, when French-speaking settlers from present-day Quebec fought against British colonial rule. Based, at least one Confederate flag was spotted in the crowd. Super based, a holdover from the U.S. Civil War that is often associated with racist and far right elements. Triple based, indigenous.
No,
go ahead.
I don't want to cause any problems for our on the ground reporters, but can we confirm if it was a can of Michelob that was thrown at the reporter?
The Reverend Chad would never drink from a can. I'm certain he drinks from a bottle. So no, it was not the Reverend Chad. The Reverend Chad Kroger was probably had his hockey goalie uniform on and was standing in front of reporters, stopping the cans that were flying like they were pucks.
Okay, that sounds right. Good.
At any rate, a holdover from the Confederate flag, a holdover from the Civil War that is often associated with racist and far-right elements. Indigenous demonstrators flew the Mohawk warrior flag and waved the flag of the Métis Nation. I've never done anything like this in my life. I'm 53 years old, and this is the hill I'm going to die on. Do not tell me I have to put something in my body, Lorraine Commodore, a convoy supporter told CBC News on Saturday. Commodore said she was fired from her job as a dental hygienist because she wouldn't get vaccinated. She said she wants this protest to bring an end to mandates that cost her and others like her their jobs. She said her mother-in-law died in hospital and it was difficult for the family to visit her in the last days of her life because of COVID-19 restrictions on visitors. Open the hospitals. They're public. This needs to end today, she said. Her husband, Mike, said he's distrustful of the shots. Skepticism that cost him his job as a community living nurse. How many boosters is it going to take? Wake up, people. How many boosters? People who've taken the two shots, they're still coming down with COVID-19. They're still testing positive. So where's the science? What science? It's amazing what government scientists will say when their paychecks depend on it, he said. The Public Health Agency of Canada reported earlier this month that the primary series of vaccines, the first two doses of an mRNA product, offer low to very low protection against an Omicron infection, but that they still prevent severe cases of COVID-19 hospitalization and death, which is bullshit. FAC, P-H-A-C, data suggests unvaccinated people are 19 times more likely to be hospitalized with COVID-19 than fully vaccinated people. A third dose of an mRNA shot also offers much more protection against an actual infection. And, you know, we're not going to go into it this minute, but we've completely debunked that with big studies. The majority of the people going into the hospitals and dying of COVID-19 now are fully vaxxed with booster. Amid this standoff over science, there was also a smattering of counter-protesters who waded into the crowds to bring a pro-vaccine message to a group that is generally leery of the COVID-19 shots. "I believe in public health. Thank you, nurses," read one of the signs carried by the group. "Trudeau family moved for security reasons. Trudeau and his family are no longer at their home, Rideau Cottage, which is on the property of the Governor General's residence in New Edinburgh neighborhood of Ottawa, roughly 4 kilometers from the epicenter of the protest. The Prime Minister's office said it could not comment on Trudeau's whereabouts for security reasons. His itinerary, which normally lists the city where he's staying, said only that he's in the National Capital Region. Trudeau is currently in isolation because he was in close contact to one of his children who recently tested positive for COVID-19. Oh, well, I bet they were vaxxed. The decision to move Trudeau and his family follows the Rideau Hall gate-crashing attack in 2020. A Canadian Armed Forces member carrying a firearm rammed his vehicle into the gates protecting the property in an attempt to reach Trudeau. So, yeah, I mean, it's a whole thing, and this article just goes on and on and on. And, let's look. Politicians weigh in. Earlier this week, NDP leader Jagmeet Singh condemned the convoy, saying it harbors racists. Trudeau has been equally unreceptive, dismissing what he calls a small fringe that holds unacceptable views. While rejecting bigotry and hate, Conservative leader O'Toole said Canadians frustrated with 2 years of COVID-19 restrictions should be heard by elected officials. See, this is why conservatives in every country, mainstream conservatives, are just worthless. Once he rejects bigotry and hate, he has basically, in trying to make the media happy, he has basically smeared the whole group of protesters as some kind of evil people, right? He's just handed the media what they want.
Right. Yeah. It's worse than just saying, like, look, this isn't about bigotry or hate or racism or whatever. That's kind of insane that you would go there.
Yeah.
No, he's got to shoot himself in the foot by saying, like, no, we condemn racism and bigotry and hate and whatever. And then it's a tried and true method. If now you're defending yourself against racism rather than putting out the message that you wanted to spread in the first place.
Yeah. When the media asks them about racism, they need to avail themselves of the old Negro wisdom of Jesse Lee Peterson and tell them, racism, you believe in that? Are you stupid? There's no such thing. at any rate, at least one Canadian parliamentarian was among Saturday's crowd, Conservative MP Michael Cooper. So there was, out of all these people coming down there, there was one representative, one out of everybody in parliament, everybody in government, who is willing to come out and either show support or hear the concerns of these people. Now, what does that tell you?
Yeah, like tens of thousands of people big and only one person coming out. These people are so out of touch that even the people that are ostensibly supposed to be representing them are afraid of them.
Yeah,
or not just afraid of them; they just are disgusted by them. They're nothing but worms, and how dare these people think that that them throwing this massive protest is going to get their attention? It's elitism that you can see wherever it is. It's no different up there than it is down here.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how many sets of fresh pants and underwear they've had to provide Trudeau in the last 12 hours.
I mean, I was just like smuggling him out in like a burqa disguise or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, bold of you to assume that there are pants involved. I imagine that's it's a skirt situation with Trudeau.
Yeah, probably so. Or a diaper. Who knows? The Reverend Chad Kroger says he was there all fucking week. Bureaucrats. Yes, the Reverend Chad Kroger. Not the biggest fan of bureaucrats, and I don't blame him. So, yeah, this thing, I think this thing's really cool, and they're doing it right. And let's hope that, and we have every reason to believe that it's going to continue this way until, and if they decide to disperse and go their way. But to be calling this a fringe movement, let me tell you something. Anything that you can get people to come out in numbers of tens of thousands in a country with that size population, where there is all this politically correct tyranny, where everybody's afraid to speak out, and you can get that many of them to come out and speak out and show their faces and demonstrate right at the seat of power. That is not a fringe movement, my friends. That is, every one of those people who are out there represent 1,000 members of the silent majority who either couldn't get there for logistical reasons or were afraid to go.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I could have gone there, I would have, you know, taken a plane or a bus up to Canada and just, you know, beat my horn or some, you know, something. You don't have to be a trucker to, you know, be on these people's side.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
but that you, whenever you have like any sort of demonstration like this, you can assume that for every person out there, there's 10 to 100 more people back home that are supporting them.
Oh, I would say 1,000. Yeah. You know, it's just like us. You look at the even when our thing was big at its height, you look at the people who were willing to express these views that we have. There's at least 1,000 more of them, probably way more than that, who think exactly like we do, but they walk around going, I'm weird. I'm the only one who thinks this, or maybe I'm not, but I better not say anything because they'll ruin my life, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. There's probably millions of people that think all the exact same things we do. They're not even aware that, you know, there's podcasts like ours out there.
Yeah. Ace, what was it you said you would allow people to do if they donated $25?
Yeah, and this offer is absolutely still open. Anybody $25 and up that has an issue with the Odyssey terms of service, that we can't say certain things on this platform because we want to keep it available for the Crypto Report, they are quite welcome. And this is, you know, just one per $25. You can send me one racial slur in my DMs, and I will appreciate that, and I won't report you to the authorities.
Well, Aaron Calgary has bought a racial slur, and use it wisely, Aaron Calgary. Make it a good one.
Okay, yeah, pick a good one. Absolutely.
Okay, so let's see. There's so much more. Let me see if I can pull up the hashtag for the Ottawa protest, just so I can read you people some of the reactions from blue checks and so forth on Twitter. Okay. Twitter taking a moment to load. Come on, Twitter. Okay. Hashtag Ottawa convoy. There we go. Okay. Let's do the latest. We'll try the latest. Um, some account called Shepherds of Good Hope, which says supporting people experiencing homeless in Ottawa since 1983, harm reduction, supportive housing, shelter, homes for all, community for all, hope for all. That's their bio. They tweeted, hi, everyone. Thanks for bringing this to our attention. Earlier today, our staff and volunteers experienced harassment from convoy protesters seeking meals from our soup kitchen. The individuals were given meals to defuse the conflict. Management was then informed of the issue, and no further meals were given to protesters. Our soup kitchen is committed to providing meals to people experiencing and at risk of homelessness in Ottawa. This weekend's events have caused significant strain to our operations at an already difficult time. Well, you know what? Fuck the homeless. Yeah, right? Fuck them. let's see. Oh, and they're, the left is trying to meme this thing into hashtag Karen Convoy with a K. Karen Convoy. Like they're a bunch of Karens because they don't want to be forced to take the vax.
They're literally the opposite of that. Well, it's like a Karen listen, is the person screeching.
There is nothing wrong with being. There is nothing wrong with being a Karen, and this whole Karen meme is ridiculous. It's an anti-white meme, and the Karen meme gains steam just at the perfect time when customer service, any place you ever went, had become a god awful hell to try to go through, right? I mean, go in anywhere, go into Taco Bell and place an order with more than one item on it. See if it comes back correctly. And if it comes back incorrectly, point out that it came back incorrectly and, you know, see how much, politeness and so forth you get out of the Shaniquas and recent immigrants and so forth behind the counter, or try to get customer service on the phone, or go out in public and see what's going on in public spaces where the blacks and the Mexicans and the surly, poorly raised whites and so forth. See how they treat those public spaces, how they break all the rules and make it completely impossible for you to enjoy these public spaces that you're paying for and they're not. And tell me what's wrong with being a Karen. Seriously, being a Karen is anyone who complains about things going the way they're not supposed to go.
Right, right, right.
You know?
Yeah, I don't have a Twitter, but, you know, hashtag Chad Convoy. Let's get that started.
Yeah. Let's see. Stealing food and resources from a homeless shelter is real hashtag small dick energy. Ottawa Convoy. And I thought defacing Terry Fox was offensive, says Emily Ching. And as every female, the only thing a female can ever do is worry about, they're constantly horny for sex and they're worrying about getting their nasty vaginas filled up. And so the first thing that comes to their mind is to accuse you of having a small dick if they disagree with you. It's old and it doesn't work anymore.
What was it you were saying the other night that it's a source of constant and unending evil in between their legs there? What was the quote were saying?
The vagina. Yeah, how was it I put that? I don't remember. It was brilliant. I wish I could remember. The vagina is what is it, a direct line to Satan or something like that? I don't remember.
Yeah, it was poetry.
Yeah, I posted it on the Telegram. I'll have to go maybe during the break. I'll go look it up. And there's people claiming Ottawa Convoy. It seems the much vaunted Freedom Convoy had less than 10,000 participants. Bullshit. He posted this 11 minutes ago. And this person, he calls himself Peter Garber, and in his bio, he says, rather than wasting our time on anti-vaxxers, let's get vaccine to the 3 billion people around the world who want it and can't get it. I don't think there's anybody around the world who wants it and can't get it. I mean, every government in the world is forcing their taxpayers to pay for multiple doses for anybody who wants it. Here's Bree. I have no words. You have the audacity to freely drive across the country and take a meal from the homeless because you refuse to put on a mask. Disgusting, utterly disgusting. So apparently one or two people saying, hey, can we have some of these meals too? And I'm sure they're hungry. Everything is shut down. Like the Reverend Chad was saying, he had brought enough food with him, he hoped, to not go hungry before he had to leave. Everything is shut down. They shut down the whole mall right there because people were coming in without their masks on. But anyway, it's just there's so much butthurt going on. And I've seen tons of stuff where, well, we read some of it to the Reverend Chad Kroger where people are talking about, oh, my cat is shitting in the bed and and I just want to die. And I can hear the convoy's horns blaring 8 stories down a basement. Well, too bad. Too bad. Fuck all you people. So yeah. You guys got any thoughts you want to share on what's going on?
Oh, just God bless these truckers. Keep it up, and they're gonna give you what you want if you just hold in there. They're gonna end all these stupid mandates if you hold in there. And you know what? Once they do, hold that for another week. Just teach them a fucking lesson that we shouldn't have to do this to get what we want.
Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently that you know, not all the truckers there are Canadian. There are Americans that truck stuff into Canada. So I'm glad to see that we have a movement that's finally coalescing around this issue. I'm very happy to see it. And specifically, God bless any trucker who, when I was a kid and I was doing the hand motion for the air horn, you know, through my school bus window, any trucker that responded to that and blew the air horn, God bless you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Truckers are the greatest of people. They're awesome. I want to say, well, I just ran across a video where they're showing there's convoy saboteurs dropping nails all over the road to deflate protesters' tires. Now, that will be kind of counterproductive for these dumbasses, won't it? Because if the cars all get flat tires and they're stuck in the city for another week or so until they can supply enough tires to get them all back on the road and everything, these people are going to have their city clogged up and everything shut down to a standstill for that much longer. But fortunately, they're stupid. It looks like I'm looking at the nails. It looks like they threw down a bunch of finish nails and not, you know, anybody who knows anything about tools and tires and things of that sort is, if you want to pop a bunch of tires, you throw down roofing nails, you idiot. These finish nails just lay down flat for the most part.
No, I'm not really a mechanical guy, so correct me if I'm wrong, but does the air horn still work if the tires are flat?
The air horn still works as long as there is diesel to power the electrical system to pump air into that compressor. The air horn.
Yeah, okay, so cool. Yes, stop a bunch of trucks in your cities, guys. Yeah. Your cats will be shitting in panic for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I like to kid his as much as anybody else, but, you know, they're force vaccinating everybody. They're trying to depopulate the entire earth. I think, I don't think tachitties are our top concern right now. Island Kippa says CBC is blaming the Russians for the trucker convoy. Oh, you knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, the cute little kittens are slightly a lower degree of concern than force vaccinating a huge percentage of our blue collar workforce.
And, right.
You know, those Russians are always up to something.
Oh, and so
I'm sure they did this.
Are the kitties a bigger concern than shutting down all commerce cross border? What are you going to feed the kitties on? You're going to starve to death. there won't be any meat left on your bones for the poor kitty to eat.
Exactly. The kibble or the food. Purina won't come in.
Yeah,
they won't have any food to shit all over your bed.
Well, one thing I want to say is I hope, and it's a thing that I thought about. We talked about it some with the Reverend Chad last night. I hope that, the Unite the Right and J6 things, the way they happened and the way they were provocateured and by the government, you know, in different ways, of course. But both of them were engineered by the government to turn into a thing that they weren't intended to be. And hopefully these Canadians and anybody anywhere who does big protests in the future will have learned from the mistakes that were made and will be watchful for the tricks that these Zogbots will pull on them. And we're all just hoping and praying that the protest goes off without anything bad happening, that everybody there makes it out in as good a shape as they went in, you know, other than the the hangovers and the various cases of gonorrhea they're going to get from the hookers. And it kind of sounds like coming home from this protest is like coming home from a border town in Mexico back in the day. you come back with a hangover and a case of clap. But anyway, our thoughts and prayers are with all you guys, and you know, more power to you. This is gonna be a great thing, and no matter how the media tries to portray it, no matter how they try to bury it after it's over and everything, your politicians have definitely heard you. Okay, so let's move on to something else before we go to break. Tony's messaging me that he's probably going to have to go. Are you being nagged, Tony? Is that what's going on?
No, I'm trying to keep from snoring on the mic again.
Oh, well. That's not the worst thing that could possibly happen. People seem to enjoy it. But
I had a late night last night and an early day today, and I'm just like, I gotta sleep.
Yeah. Here's a little piece on the whole Neil Young, Joe Rogan, Spotify situation. If my internet will go there. Neil Young's transformation on speech mirrors American liberalisms. And I haven't read this yet, but I went ahead and brought it up because Hate Farmer posted it and recommended it. And this is a thing I've talked about a lot, you know, especially when people would call it and ask about it or whatever. It's one of the things that makes it such a boomer meme to point out the hypocrisy of liberals to liberals, right? Like, or leftists, communists, whatever.
Right.
Like, we'll point it out sometimes to make a point to our listeners and to hopefully, you know, people who are amenable to our ideas who might be listening. But that's the only point in doing it, because the whole point of communism, extreme leftism, whatever, is that it's hypocritical as fuck. It says and does whatever it has to do to take complete control, right? And they don't care. Well, you tell them they're hypocrites, and they laugh at you.
They've written strategic books on how to implement communism, and it relies heavily on being hypocritical. So
yeah,
you pointing that out is just to be like, yeah, we know. We did that on purpose.
Right. But the lead on this article says Neil Young's transformation on speech mirrors American liberalisms. The once freewheeling musician now rages on behalf of the machine. Neil Young, the famed Canadian-American rock and folk musician, issued an ultimatum to the streaming service Spotify. You either get me or podcaster Joe Rogan. Quote, I want to let Spotify
know immediately today that I want all my music off their platform, he wrote in an open letter posted on his website. They can have Joe Rogan or Young, not both.
Young complained about Rogan featuring skeptics of COVID-19 vaccines on his show.
I'm doing this because Spotify is spreading fake information about vaccines, potentially causing death to those who believe the disinformation being spread by them, he said. Please act on this immediately today and keep me informed of the time schedule.
The letter quickly disappeared from Young's website. One of his managers came along and said, Neil, you're having a combination acid flashback and dementia moment again. Suggesting that maybe Young did the math and recognized that he didn't have a whole lot of leverage over someone who's one of the service's biggest podcasters. That he's not one of them. He's the biggest podcaster. The Joe Rogan podcast is the most popular podcast on earth, without question. Who Spotify paid more than $100 million to win over to the platform. Nevertheless, Spotify announced on Wednesday that it would proactively take down Young's music from its service. Still, the fact that Young would consider trying to silence a fellow entertainer on the platform signals a stunning transformation in the singer's social and political philosophy. Young has long been a political liberal, raging against the machine, long before rage came onto the scene. His 1970 song, Ohio, with Crosby, Stills, and Nash, served as a protest against the U.S. government following the National Guard killing of 4 students and wounding of 9 others during a protest at Kent State University. And I still say they were justified in doing that, by the way. Young remained
a few.
Yeah. Yeah, quite a few. Young remained a figure in countercultural politics in the decades to come, taking up a number of left liberal causes, generally arguing against the authority of governments or corporations to coerce or suppress people. In 2006, he united with Crosby, Stills, and Nash for a politically charged tour that featured a range of anti-Bush, anti-war songs. They called it the Freedom of Speech Tour. What can be said about a countercultural artist who now wants to deploy the machinery of corporate censorship to silence America's top podcast? It's likely that Young's transformation is simply mirroring the larger, less evolving views on freedom of speech. Between 2018 and 2021, the percentage of Democrats who believe that government should act to restrict false information online jumped from 40% to 65%. More than 3/4 think social media companies should be engaging in private censorship for the same reason. Much of the left now believes that the flow of information should be centralized and controlled to achieve certain social objectives. The right or freedom to express oneself, even if you're dead wrong, is not really seen as important in and of itself. That's a big reversal from the modern left's values, at least the left that existed since the new left came of age in the 60s. Heck, in the early 2000s, millions of Americans sincerely believed that the government itself committed the 9/11 attacks, a belief that makes the government surely as heinous as any QAnon belief does. Yet viral videos like Loose Change spread with little to no censorship. It would have been seen as absurd for progressives to argue that the arguments laid out by the truthers were suppressed rather than debunked, maybe even un-American. But I'm not going to go on with this. Everybody knows what's going on here. And being a person my age, it's one of the things that was really hard. And of course, I wrapped my mind around these things way before most people do, but even understanding it on an intellectual level, it was really hard to just deep down in my bones wrap my mind around the fact that you weren't allowed to say what you thought anymore, even if it offended people, right? That used to, growing up my whole life, that was like this huge bedrock principle. And the reason was because the left was ascendant, and the things that they wanted to say and do, and even the things they did that weren't speech that they had categorized as speech, they had to invoke this principle of free speech that we have and claim that it was the highest of our ethics and everything, so that they could force all this pause on us. Everything from the normalization and legalization and proliferation of the pornography industry to the degenerate art that we were forced to pay for with our tax dollars, like Piss Christ, you know, which was like a bowl full of piss with a crucifix in it, which of course...
That reminds me of an art project that I have coming up. It's going to be Shit Menorah.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm still working on it, but trust me.
Well, I'm sure the National Endowment for the Arts will give you six figures to fund that if you'll just fill out the application, Tony. Because that's who paid for Piss Christ.
A big menorah with a turd in each candlestick.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to propose a piece of artwork for the National Women's whatever that they have up in Washington D.C. and see if I can get the NEA to fund it. And I don't know exactly what it's going to be yet, but the title of it is going to be "Barefoot and Pregnant Forever, You Whores." But
well, hey, with Neil Young, he, depending on what circles you were in, but famously for a long time, he wouldn't allow any of his music to be sold digitally online on an Apple store or whatever, because he didn't feel the quality of the compression could represent his music correctly. And recently I was just informed that he sold the rights to 50%, half of his catalog. He sold them off, and in terms of streaming revenue, I believe Spotify was 60% of the streaming revenue he got. So Neil Young threw a shit fit, put up a letter on his website, and somebody who owns half his catalog is losing 60% of their revenue.
Well, so in other words, Neil Young tried to be a censor and ended up inadvertently censoring himself.
Pretty much, and I know it's a stale old take, but yeah, I was a leftist when being a leftist was about being able to speak your mind freely, and for better or for worse, having no consequences from that. Maybe I'd have a different position on that today, but that was the leftism that I grew up with, so it is very bizarre to see the way that this has changed and morphed into a new creature.
Yeah, well, I think that is a very cogent point to end the first half on. Since Tony is fading out on us, we'll go ahead and go to break. But before we go to break, of course, we're going to read the super chats that we've gotten in so far. Aaron Calgary with $25, of course, said, "I hope Ace's previous offer stands." And yes, Aaron Calgary, you've got to be on Telegram, but you can DM Ace and post whatever racial slur you want, and he won't report you. Shaggy Boy with $20. Yeah,
join us in the TKR chat and send it over to me. You earned it, buddy.
Yeah. Everybody join the TKR Telegram chat. What's wrong with you if you're not in there? Shaggy Boy with $20, and he posted a coin. Thank you, Shaggy Boy. Pewter Sure with $10 says, "The good Reverend put in some fine work this weekend." Oh, you bet he did. He sure did. Henry Ford, one of our favorite authors of classic books, Henry Ford, said he gave $10 and said, "Horse paste fund." Yes, I need some horse paste just in case. We all do, don't we? Tilted with $10 said, "Honk, honk." Oh, here, let's do something for Tilted. Hold on. He deserves it. Let's honk back at him. Let's see, where did that go? Where did that go? Dang it. Now, how did this happen? That I lost it. Oh, here we go. Let's honk back at Tilted. There you go, buddy. Enjoy. You know what that sound is? That's the sound of freedom. All right. Let's see. Not Mr. Noseberg gave us 5 LBC. And he did a right hand straight up emoji, whatever that means. Right arm, I mean. Aaron Calgary with $5 says, "The Reverend sounds like Benjamin Fulford." Right off the top of my head, I'm not sure who that is, but the name sounds familiar. Henry Ford's with $5 says Justin Trudeau is at his second home in Havana. Yeah, yeah, probably visiting his father's grave, right? Because as we all know, Fidel Castro is Justin Trudeau's actual father. He looks just like Fidel Castro and nothing like the elder Trudeau.
It's hard to deny that once you look into that whole conspiracy theory. It's like, yeah, that's a real hard one to deny.
I think for reasons of Canadian national security, he should be forced to submit to a DNA test.
Yeah.
Reformed Ray said, with $5, says, as Trudeau fear poops his bed, remember, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Proverbs 28:1. A very, very good point, and thank you for the Bible verse and the dono, Reformed Ray. Shaggy Boy with $5 and the Comet Coin. And I believe that's all of them. There's always this thing at the end that says show more. Let me see if... but it never shows more. Let's see. Nope, it did not show more. Oh, no, it did. Reformed Ray with $1 says, truckers are the last cowboys. Hank Hill. Okay, that's a great quote. Shaggy Boy with $1 says, cheers, Reverend Chad. Stay warm, bro. And Follow White Rabbit with $1 says, what's the... we asked him that. What's the Rev been drinking? And we found out that the answer was Michelob Ultra. And let me scroll through here and make sure we got them all. Looks like we did. Okay. Well, thanks, everybody, for tipping so far. Let's run through our housekeeping here. Make sure, make good and sure, that you have joined the official Crypto Report channel on Telegram for all things TKR and to be able to call in live. We are, of course, going to take live calls during the second half. Make sure that you have joined the Dutchland Crypto Report channel. The mods are going to post all these links for you. Make sure that you have joined Nordic Frost, the Green Room Telegram channel. And make sure that you follow Dutchland, which is Hate Farmer's channel on Odyssey, Tony Castle's channel on Odyssey, and Nordic Frost Green Room on Odyssey. And you need to follow the Green Room if you're a fan of classic rock and heavy metal, or even if you're not, because Nordic Frost is so good at what he does that if you don't already enjoy the ultra Hawaiian genre of hard rock and heavy metal, you will after you listen to the cuts that Nordic Frost serves up. Don't be shy about hitting that tip button and don't go anywhere because we'll be right back.
The Crypto Report will be right back.
I was on the outskirts of a little southern town, trying to reach my destination before the sun went down. The old CB was blaring away on channel 19 when there came a little boy's voice on the radio line. And he said, Breaker 19, is anyone there? Come on back, truckers, and talk to Teddy Bear. Well, I keyed the mic and I said, you got it, Teddy Bear. And the little boy's voice came back on the air. Appreciate the break. Who we got on that end? I told him my handle, and then he began. Now, I'm not supposed to bother you fellas out there, Mom says you're busy and for me to stay off there. But you see, I get lonely and it helps to talk. 'Cause that's about all I can do. I'm crippled and I can't walk. I came back and told him to fire up that mic, and I'd talk to him as long as he liked. This was my dad's radio, the little boy said, but I guess it's mine and Mom's now, 'cause my daddy's dead. Dad had a wreck about a month ago. He was trying to get home in a blinding snow. Mom has to work now to make ends meet, and I'm not much help with my two crippled feet. She says not to worry, that we'll make it all right, but I hear her crying sometimes late at night. You know, there's one thing I want more than anything else to see. Oh, I know you guys are too busy to bother with me, but you see, my dad used to take me for rides when he was home. But I guess it's all over now since my daddy's gone. Not one breaker came on the old CB as that little crippled boy talked with me. I tried hard to swallow a lump that just wouldn't stay down as I thought about my boy back in Greenville town. Dad was going to take Mom and me with him later on this year. Well, I remember him saying, "Someday this old truck will be yours, Teddy Bear." But I know I'll never get to ride an 18-wheeler again. But this old base will keep me in touch with all my trucker friends. Teddy Bear's going to back on out now and leave you alone, 'cause it's about time for Mom to come home. But you give me a shout when you're passing through, and I'll sure be happy to come back to you. Well, I came back and I said, "Before you go, 1010, what's your home 20, little CB friend?" Well, he gave me his address and I didn't once hesitate, 'cause this hot load of freight is just gonna have to wait. I turned that truck around on a dime and headed straight for Jackson Street, 229. And as I rounded the corner, oh, I got one heck of a shock. 18-wheelers were lined up for three city blocks. Well, I guess every driver for miles around had caught Teddy Bear's call. And that little crippled boy was having a ball. For as fast as one driver would carry him in, another would carry him to his truck and take off again. Well, you better believe I took my turn at riding Teddy Bear. And then I carried him back in and put him down in his chair. And buddy, if I never live to see happiness again, I want you to know I saw it that day in the face of that little man. We took up a collection for him before his mama got home, and each driver said goodbye, and then they were all gone. He shook my hand with a mile-long grin and said, "So long, trucker. I'll catch you again." Yeah, I hit that interstate with tears in my eyes. I turned on the radio and I got another surprise. Breaker 19 came a voice on the air. "Just one word of thanks from Mama Teddy Bear. We wish each and every one a special prayer for you, 'cause you just made my little boy's dream come true. I'll sign off now before I start to cry. May God ride with you. 10-4. And goodbye."
Well, I ask an old truck driver about life out on the road, if he does a lot of singing when he's bringing in his load, if there's a pretty waitress crying for him every 100 miles, if he gets a lot of loving, if he has a lot of smiles. And I ask him if those trucking songs tell about a life like his. He said, "If you want to know the truth about it, here's the way it is. All I do is drive, 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 try to stay alive and keep my mind on my load, keep my eye upon the road. I got nothing in common with any man who's home every day at 5. All I do is drive, 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 drive. Shared a cup of coffee, then I had to warm it up. And his greasy fingers trembled as he held on to the cup. And I said, don't you hear a lot of music, see a lot of sights? Well, if you'll tune in to the Grand Ole Opry Saturday night, I will dedicate you a trucking song to which you can relate. He said, you just do the singing, and I'll do the driving, mate. All I do is drive, 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 try to stay alive, keep my mind on my load, keep my eye upon the road. I got nothing in common with any man who's home every day at five. All I do is drive, 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 if I can get the fuel.
Welcome back to the Crypto Report.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. Are we back, Tony? Tony's not back. I guess Tony fell asleep on us. If we listen close, maybe his hot mic. Maybe his hot mic will have him snoring. Are we back, Ace?
Yes, I can hear the faint sound of meatballs cooking in the background. So Tony may have passed out on us, but I'm here for you.
Yeah, let's see. I'm going to turn Tony's audio up real loud, and let's see if we can hear what's going on in his house. Let me see. Let me try to work this thing. Here we go. Turning it up now. Oh, there he is. It's amazing what you can do with modern technology. Poor Tony. All right, that's enough of that. Let's give Tony his privacy. So anyway. Well, Ace, let me see. I don't know if we have much left in prep. We are, as I said, we are going to take phone calls tonight. Let's see. I know we had a couple of things here. Well, oh, yeah. Here's something I wanted to talk about, a little story from the New York Post. It's one of these, like, oh, the... It's so appropriate, right? Black Lives Matter sent millions to Canada charity to buy a mansion. Now, you'd never guess who formerly occupied this mansion, Ace, or would you?
I'd assume it was some religious institution or some capitalist banking institution. You know, salt of the earth kind of stuff. I mean, Who was it? Who'd they buy this from?
This mansion is the former headquarters of the Canadian Communist Party.
Oh, that's different than what I was thinking. Yeah. I am surprised.
Yeah, Black Lives Matter transferred millions to a Canadian charity run by the wife of its co-founder to purchase a sprawling mansion that had once served as the headquarters of the Communist Party public record show. M4BJ, a Toronto-based nonprofit set up by Janaya Khan and other Canadian activists, snagged the 10,000-square-foot historic property for the equivalent of $6.3 million in cash in July 2021. And that's what, like 10 billion Canadian? I don't know. Anyway, Khan is the wife of Patrice Khan Cullors, co-founder of... See, Jesse Lee Peterson's always right. I'm looking at her picture, and she's fat. She's the wife of Patrice Khan Cullors. So Black Lives Matter was, in fact, founded by a bunch of fat, black lesbians. And the co-founder of Black Lives Matter...
And they have ties to the... They have ties to the Communist Party, you say. That's surprising to me.
Yeah, yeah. Khan is the wife of Patrice Khan Cullors, a co-founder of Black Lives Matter Global Foundation Network and a self-avowed Marxist. She resigned from the group last year, a month after the Post revealed that she had spent $3.2 million on homes in Georgia and Los Angeles. Khan Cullors vigorously denied that BLM donations were used to buy the homes. What did she buy them with then? The purchase of the Toronto property named the Wild Seed Center for Art and Activism came to light amid mounting concerns over the U.S. activist group's lack of transparency in its finances. In Canada, the purchase was criticized by two senior members of the group who resigned earlier this month over the building's funding. For BLM Canada to take money from BLM Global Network for a building without consulting the community was unethical, tweeted Sarah Jama earlier this month. She sounds like a racist. For BLM Canada to refuse to answer questions from young black organizers goes against the spirit of movement building. She sounds like an Uncle Tom who's doing a lot of cooning, right?
now, does this lady have any relation to the other BLM leader founder in America that was bought several mansions? And
yeah, that's Patrice Khan Cullors. Yeah, her connection is she's married. Okay. She's gay married to her.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So you know. They have a vacuum sealed lip to labia connection. The questions were raised How do I, you know, I always, it's probably a sign of my racism, but when I do the lesbian voice, I always do it like a white bull dyke. So I guess at the Khan Cullors house, it'd be something like, "Well, I'm going to be eating your pussy. Sit still, girl." Now, look at him. I was going to eat your pussy. girl. You just wait till we get done burning this downtown section of this crack-ass, no-good city. We're going to go home, and I'm just going to eat your pussy like fried chicken. I'm gonna suck that big fat hairy monkey between your legs like it's a chicken leg bone.
Love is love. That's beautiful.
Yes, doesn't it sound romantic and not at all perverse, gross, or something that people should be stoned to death for? The questions were raised as BLM-GNF is going through its own internal turmoil as two activists who were put in place to manage the organization after Khan Cullors' resignation abruptly left in September, according to a report in the Washington Examiner. And I've read this one. This is an interesting one, too. This is one of those, can you imagine black people were left in charge of millions of dollars and somehow they mismanaged it and were extremely corrupt and stole a lot of it?
this is an old Adam Carolla bit from Loveline, but I'm going to break it out just for this. So
okay.
Bear with me for a second. Shocking.
But this is the Washington Examiner story. BLM's millions unaccounted for after leaders quietly jumped ship. No one appears to have been in charge at Black Lives Matter for months. The address it lists on tax forms is wrong. The charity's two board members won't say who controls its $60 million bankroll. A Washington Examiner investigation has found. And one thing they're not pointing out here, how is there only a $60 million bankroll? Remember when all the money was flowing in, we covered this on the show several times, how between the corporate donations and the crowdfunded shit and all that, the numbers were in the billions. And
Yeah, I mean, you don't ask me who be in charge of $60 million. Shit, I don't know. Well, you're listed as the chief financial officer. The fuck that mean? I just make it rain. Shit. But BLM's shocking lack of transparency surrounding its finances and operations raises major legal and ethical red flags, multiple charity experts told the Washington Examiner. Like a giant ghost ship full of treasure drifting in the night with no captain, no discernible crew, and no clear direction, Charity Watch executive director Lori Steyer instead of BLM. Well, there's obviously another racist, right? you know how these neo-Nazis are. They just lie and lie. Okay, well, it was bound to happen sooner or later, but that one was weird. My internet never disconnected, but I guess that was just a Telegram glitch. I hate using the Telegram, but for right now, it's what we have to do. I can't afford the excellent interface that we used to use, but maybe that's about to change. Anyway, you can hear me, right, Ace?
Yep, yes, I can. Okay. And, you know, it sucks that we had a little dropout, but compared to things, how things were even a week ago, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyhow, as I was saying, BLM co-founder Patrice Cullors, who is one of the fat black lesbians, appointed two activists to serve as the group's senior directors following her resignation in May against scrutiny over her personal finances. But both quietly announced in September that they never took the jobs due to disagreements with BLM. They told the Washington Examiner they don't know who now leads the nation's most influential social justice organization. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a misnomer to refer to BLM as an organization. I think based on the way things are running, when they say, well, oh, BLM, an ideology, not an organization, there's a certain amount of truth to that, I guess.
Right. That's the Antifa line, right? It's not an organization. It's an idea.
Yeah.
It's an idea that runs off with a couple million bucks.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm skipping ahead here, and the two names I'm about to give are the two activists she put in charge. It says both Themba and Bandele she nominated Africans. Told the Washington, makes sense. Actual Africans seem to be better than the average African American at managing money. But generally it's because they have like 12 jobs. They don't have time to spend any. Told the Washington Examiner they do not know who took over as BLM's top executive after their departure, and neither would they say who served on the council. We never actually started into position, so we never received any detailed information, Themba said. While a charity's finances are ultimately the responsibility of its board of directors, BLM's bylaws explicitly state that its executive director, quote, shall have charge of all funds and securities of the corporation. Well, that's that doesn't tend to lead to corruption and theft and so forth, does it? Have you ever heard of such? Oh, well, you know, the CEO, we'll just let the CEO, Okay, I believe I'm back. Am I back?
Yes, you are.
Okay. But I mean, just imagine setting up your, you know, you've got some corporation and you set up a board of directors and everything. And like your first rule is, well, we're just going to put all the money in an account and hand the credit card over or the debit card over to the CEO. And, you know, they can do what they want. This is just insane. But since we're starting to have these dropouts and stuff, Ace, what do you say? I'm going to check and see if we have Spurg chats, if we have any new, well, no, I'm sad and going to cry. We don't have, well, I know we have one because I can see it. We have two because I can see them, but they're not showing on the thing. Let me try the show more.
Are you telling me people aren't flooding in to drop some donations so they can send me gamer words in my private messages? Is that not enticing?
Well, I know I'm seeing a couple. Let me refresh this thing. Maybe it's because the internet did drop out that second time. But let's see. Okay, Aaron Calgrew, $14.92, says, I hope Ads can connect with Space Jogger next week. We need an update. Well, we'll get to him when we get to him, I'm sure. And let me scroll up because I see it. Okay, like I see
recharge those lithium crystals.
I have to scroll up and look in the chat to see it. It's not showing up in the list of super chats, but in the chat itself, I can see that your girlfriend, and hey, how you doing, your girlfriend? Good to see you. Always happy to see your girlfriend. With $5 says, catching a bit of TK Aura before bed. That's right. That reminds me, this is an absolutely true story. I had my first grade teacher was a complete bitch. She was an absolute battle axe, middle-aged, stumpy, fat woman who was mean to everybody. But she was especially mean to the blacks because, you know, in first grade, well, back then there was no kindergarten. So in first grade, you know, you're, and for me, it was going through the motions of learning the alphabet because I had learned my alphabet when I was like two, just from hearing them say it on Sesame Street, right? As most young white children do. But, you know, she would take her pointer and point at each letter. And one at a time, the students would stand up and they'd be like, A, B, C. And when the black kids were standing up and she would point to R, every one of them would go, Aura. And she would say, no, it's not R, it's R, say it. And they'd go, Aura. And she would just keep on at him. And you can see them, you know, like just imagine the look on a weightlifter's face, like an Olympic weightlifter who is trying to beat the record for the squats, for lifting the most squat, but he's not just trying to break it. He's trying to double it, right? And he's pulling and pulling on that thing and the stress and the scrunched up face and the sweat coming down. That's what they started getting that look on their face. Like, oh my God, I'm trying. Aura. And she would just torture him about it. I don't know if it's a completely black thing, but it's certainly a Southern black thing to pronounce R's that way. Let's see. Yeah, and we got Aaron Calgary there. So, yeah, the calls are open. Anybody wants to raise their hand and call in. And if they do, we'll go a little longer. If they don't, it's going to be... Well, I say it's going to be a short TKR. We've been going for 2 hours, but generally we go longer than that. So get your hand up. Join the Telegram if you're not in the Telegram. We have the shyest, most bashful listeners, Ace.
Yeah, I mean, how many shows invite you to call in and will actually take your calls? It's quite a luxury we have,
and not hang up on you if you're critical of minorities or gays or whatever.
Well, while we're waiting, I don't know if you saw this story I posted about this Reddit transsexual moderator.
Let's go into that.
Okay,
I saw that, but I hadn't read it yet. So I didn't know what. Okay, Reddit's anti-work. There's an anti-work subreddit.
Of course there is.
Temporarily shuts down after an awkward interview between a moderator and Fox News host Jesse Waters. The R anti-work subreddit on the widely popular Reddit platform had more than 1.7 million members who refer to themselves as idlers. God almighty. The group is self-described as a home for, quote, those who want to end work, are curious about ending work, want to get the most out of a work-free life, want more information on anti-work ideas, and want personal help with their own jobs, work-related struggles. Despite the branding, having written about this vocal group, a large percentage of the people are simply venting their frustrations. The group shares their stories of the challenges faced in the workplace, similar to the millions of Americans who have quit their jobs in the Great Resignation. The idlers are sick and tired of low pay, long hours, and little or no future growth potential. It was common to see maybe they shouldn't be such losers. It was common to see posts allowing screenshots of the insults, pressures, and threats of losing their jobs made by employers. They claim that they are forced to endure overbearing, micromanaging bosses, abusive behavior, low pay, disrespect, and lack of future growth potential. If they worked in restaurants, bars, or retail stores, the Redditors detailed constant arguments with rude customers and fighting over mask requirements. Fox News host Jesse Waters interviewed one of the subreddit's moderators, Doreen Ford, on Jesse Waters' Primetime. The awkward, cringy, and uncomfortable conversation led to the R anti-work subreddit temporarily going private. It didn't help the cause, as Ford had poor lighting in her apartment, especially compared to Waters' well-produced studio. Other Fox News hosts separately piled on, too. As of the last time the site was viewed, it seemed as if it had lost most of its members. I think what I'm about to play is part of the interview. I'm looking at Jennifer Aniston here. Surely that's not.
Well, many people struggled to find work during the pandemic.
I saw the interview. It certainly wasn't the poor lighting. It might have been that the person who works as a dog walker part-time wanted to be a teacher. That may have been part of the controversy.
Okay, well, here we go. Let's have a listen.
While many people struggled to find work during the pandemic, another group of Americans emerged. Those who decided they don't want to work at all. A Reddit page called Anti-Work, Unemployment for All, Not Just the Rich, provides a safe space for these like-minded people who want to do as little as possible and still get paid. The page has become one of the most popular on Reddit. There's now over 1.6 million subscribers. And joining me now is the person who operates this anti-work group, Doreen Ford. All right, so Doreen, why do you like the idea of being home, not working, but still getting paid?
Okay, I was conscious of it, and the second that we disconnected, I stopped the interview. So here we are, pick it up where we left off. You can hear me, right, Ace?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, here we go.
Why do you like the idea of being home, not working, but still getting paid by corporate America?
Yeah. So there's some misconceptions about the movement.
First of all, if you couldn't tell by what you heard, Doreen is a man. Doreen is a man pretending to be a woman. Here we go. Here we go. Let's continue.
So we're a movement where we want to reduce the amount of work that people feel like they're forced to do. And so we want to still put in effort. We want to put in labor, but we don't want to necessarily be in a position where we feel trapped. You know, you just quoted from Office Space where that person feels very trapped in their job. I think we're calling for a society where there's less of that. But yeah, absolutely. People still want to do things. They just want to do things where they feel rewarded and they feel like they're in a good spot in their life, and that their job respects them and stuff like that. You know, there's varying.
So Doreen, you're not being forced to work. This isn't slave labor. You've applied for a job. You've agreed to the terms and conditions of the employment. And, you know, you can walk away from that job at any time and quit. So I don't understand really what this is about, sure. Except it sounds like maybe people are just being lazy. Are you encouraging people to be lazy?
So I think laziness is a virtue in a society where people constantly want you to be productive 24/7, and it's good to have rest. That doesn't mean you should be resting all the time or not putting effort into things that you care about. But I think one of the
what do you think is like a good work day? How many hours is you know a solid work day in your ideal right. society?
Okay, well that was that. Let me look in the thread and see if we're gonna get an answer to. Yeah, there's a little more of it here. Second half it says.
Good work day. How many hours is you know a solid work day in your ideal right. society?
Sure. I mean, I think as much as people want. I mean, I personally work. I have like a 20, 25 hour work weeks, which I think is fairly good. So I would like less work hours.
And what do you do, Doreen?
I'm a dog walker.
A dog walker. Okay.
Yes.
And how?
Yeah. So
how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Sure. I'm 30.
You're 30. Okay. And is there something you want to do besides being a dog walker? Do you aspire to do anything more than dog walking, or is that kind of your pinnacle?
I love working with dogs. If I had to do this for the rest of my life, you know, I wouldn't be super complaining. You know, dogs are wonderful animals. But I would love to teach. I would love to work with people and
what,
stuff like that.
What would
that.
You yeah. teach, Doreen?
A philosophy mostly.
Philosophy.
Just introduction to philosophy, critical thinking. Reason, stuff like that.
Okay. Well, I would love to take your class, Doreen. I would just be taking notes the whole time. And you know what? A professor's a very similar schedule than something that you're imagining. So I think that actually might work perfectly for you. Listen, I think this might not be the greatest idea, but who am I to judge? To each their own, they say. It's a free country.
Sure.
Not everything's free. You know. But it is a free country. Thank you so much. Sure. We got to run.
Okay, enough of that. So it says, having covered this group in the past, Waters' characterization didn't capture the full essence of the people in this group. At first blush, it does appear that these folks don't want to work at all, but it's not the case. All they're asking for is a fair chance to find a decent job with the potential of advancing. Okay. You know what the big problem is, Ace? People have this idea about something called fair when it comes to, you know, life. And there is no such thing as fair. I learned this when I was very young. When I would ask my parents, could I do something or could I have something or whatever, and they would say no, I would, as young children do, screech that it's not fair. And my parents would say, there's no such thing as fair. There just is what there is. And that's a very good thing that people should learn. Don't you
I'm
think?
I'm probably butchering the quote, but there's a Sopranos quote that goes along the lines of, yeah, the fair comes around once a year.
Yeah. Well, let's see if anybody's got their hands up yet. Yes, Bear for All Seasons has his hand up. Let's take his call. Go ahead, Bear for All Seasons.
Hey, how's everyone doing tonight?
Oh, we're doing all right. We're doing all right.
All right, all right. Just want to say the Reverend Chad is a Chad.
Indeed.
You know, really badass dude. Hopefully everything goes well. It's good to know that they're aware of PSYOPs. They're aware of staying away from violence. Hopefully they don't, you know, they can not get the locals so upset. You know, I know it's kind of tough, but you know, you just want to leave. I don't know. I think you just want to leave the locals themselves with like a good, you know, a good taste in their mouth, you know, like
oh,
just
the,
to be like
the locals, right.
the locals are not going to have that, because the locals in Ottawa, as Chad explained last night, are the worst group of people on earth. It's like saying the locals in Austin or the locals in DC or something like that. They're all a bunch of left wing bureaucrats that work for the government. You know, Ottawa's the capital. Okay. You know.
But, okay.
Yeah, they're the ones who are screeching all over the internet about their cat shitting in their face in the bed and stuff. You know.
Well, I called in to it's a little bit different. The kind of lighting it up. The term caring, I kind of wanted to talk about that with you. I have a couple different views from it. Like, to me, I kind of get what you're saying, you know what I mean? But I just feel that term is just more for just someone who, where you're short staff and you got a bunch of people and you're just like, I understand, man, you want good service or you want, but you can see we're a little backed up right now. Can you just, settle down or, it just seems like it's someone that just like wants too much and I can kind of see how it's a anti-white thing,
well, it's not kind of anti-white. The reason they chose the term Karen for it is because it was the most white name they could think of.
Well, is the term like Becky anti-white slur? Would you say that's
yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So
just the same as Shaniqua is an anti-black slur.
Okay. Then see, that's what I love about you, Az. You straight shooter, man. Yeah. It's like that black guy said in that one video. Pepe racist, damn right he is. Well, he's got a straight shooter. But no, I see how it, man. Okay, you convinced me. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like I said, the term has arisen at a time when customer service is at its absolute low. And the perfect example of the customer service being so low is, I'm sure most everybody has seen the video where guy who he was like one of the top 20 financial advisors in New Jersey took his little boy who had severe peanut allergies to an ice cream shop or whatever. And they ordered malts, and he told them to make sure and don't put peanuts in it because of his little boy's allergies. And it was a bunch of stupid immigrant bitches who were working the thing and with no idea of customer service and no giving any fucks about anybody customer-wise. And they put peanuts in the kid's drink. And the kid went into anaphylactic shock and had to be taken out of there by ambulance. And the guy was mad and he was demanding to know who made the drink. And this bitch was just getting smarter and smarter and smarter with him. Till, okay, you can go, and cussing at him and stuff. And he lost it and called him a bunch of stupid immigrant whores or stupid immigrant bitches, whatever it was, which they deserved at the very least. And then he threw the drink on the one who was just being the biggest smartass telling him to get out. And now he's lost his job and he's being charged with a hate crime and everything. And this kind of stuff is what's considered Karen behavior. Of course, they're not called. I mean, I have seen him referred to as a male Karen. Right. Mm-hmm. And, that place wasn't understaffed. There was nobody in the place other than him and his kid. And they had these three smart ass bitches behind the counter who were standing around apparently with nothing to do but argue with this guy. And like I say, customer service has just gotten horrible everywhere. And it has been for some time. The second time I moved to Dallas in 2000, I pulled into a Wendy's and I was shocked because this kind of thing hadn't hit small towns yet. But you notice they no longer had teenagers working at the fast food places. They had like 50-year-old illegal alien women working there because, they got to have the job to pay for their rent and their niños and all that. So they're easier to control or whatever. But I pulled up to the drive through, and I hear, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, I want
you want a Yumbo Yak?
Yeah, I want a double cheeseburger and fries and this and that and the other. And she's like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I have no idea. And I pull up, and it's this scrawny woman, and she starts babbling at me, and I was trying to explain to her in English what I wanted, and she had no idea. And when I got my order, of course it was wrong. Everything in it was wrong. And I was like, damn. And the only restaurant in the area that wasn't like that was the Chick-fil-A. And I like Chick-fil-A, but
every once in a while you want something that isn't
I don't like to go there at all. Because the thing with Chick-fil-A, you know, they've got this whole thing going where you can't pull up to the menu and try to read what's on the menu and order. They've got such a line around the building that they have a couple of people standing outside with a clipboard to take your order 10 miles before you get there. Who's got time for that? I mean, if they're making that much money, build some more freaking Chick-fil-A's, you know. But
do you think the term Karen, don't you think it can be used to for like, you know, with other races, like, you know, like,
well, it can be, but it never is. It very rarely is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing that's directed at white women, and like, and often sometimes it's deserved, but often it's not. Yes. Like one of the most famous women who was labeled a Karen, and she lost everything over it, was the woman who had her little dog in the park, and this black guy was menacing the shit out of her and threatening her and her dog and trying to get the dog to come to him before she turned on the camera, or he turned on the camera. He waited until after he'd done all that threatening shit, and then he turned on the camera while she was calling the cops on him. And she had to give up her dog, she lost her job, and she had to move out of the country for a while because she lived in New York City and she was getting all these threats and everything. And then when it finally went to court, it all came out, all the threats that he was making, and that he had done this to other people, that he hated people, that he went to that part of the park every day and he hated people bringing dogs to it, and he was always giving them a bunch of shit. And I'm sure it was always women or old people. I'm sure, you know, if me and my dog,
I'm pretty sure race didn't have to, you know, didn't play into it with this guy.
I'm just saying if me and my dog went to that park, he wouldn't say a fucking word to me, because I would, my dog would bite his balls off while I stomped his ass. But but the thing is, I'm smart enough that I wouldn't be caught dead in New York City. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, if you, it's one of these things that if you look at the dictionary definition of it, or I guess in this case it would be the Urban Dictionary definition of it. Mm-hmm. There are certainly, and there always have been, like, uppity customers. It's not just women, but women have a tendency to be a little more. But generally speaking, if you get the full context of what's going on, these people are just demanding that some kind of reasonable level of standards be upheld. They're spending their money, you know, and they would like to get what they paid for, and they would like to not be spit in the face, basically, while they're getting.
But sometimes I feel like the Karen is that, like, liberal white woman. You know what I mean? That annoying liberal white woman, you know, that seems, I would think, is like, you know, the enemy of and the one that helps perpetrate a lot of this global homo stuff that's going on. Yeah. You know, that Karen is the one that votes it in, but then, you know, is out in the open like, oh, I'm not racist. All this, but behind closed doors, you know, she's calling the cops if, you know, I come a knocking on her door or something, you know. It's like,
yeah.
So,
well, I mean, a lot of the shit, like I said, a lot of the shit that they call Karen, I'm for it. Like, another one of the most famous videos that was the Karen meme thing, this woman who's paying a whole lot of money to live in a building where it's peaceful and all like this, and that she's not hassled and bothered by a bunch of bullshit going in and out of her building. And some black woman she and her little girl are posted up right outside the entrance to her building, and they've gone and bought bottled water, you know, cheap Walmart or whatever bottled water, and they're selling it for $2 a piece, right? And she's like, you're not allowed to sell stuff out here. And they pull out the phone and start recording. What do you mean we ain't allowed it? Because we black, ain't it? Well, you know, and the woman got in all kinds of trouble. I don't remember if she lost her job or anything, but she got all these threats, and she was uncomfortable to continue living in her own building and everything. And this is what they're calling a Karen. Well, that's not a Karen. That's somebody who's saying, look, there's fucking rules here, and I live here, and I pay here. Get your ass out from in front of this building with your panhandling bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. That is true. You know, but this part of me goes, ah, it's a kid selling water. But it is true. If I'm paying a shitload of money and, you know, yeah, I'm like, dude, scoot, you know? So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, so was there anything else you wanted to bring up?
I think the Reverend Chad
has a report for us. Reverend Chad, your hand went down. If you still want to me to take your call, raise your hand again.
Oh, and also, really quick, hopefully there's talk among those people in Ottawa about, you know, creating some their own supply lines, man, and the truckers getting together and starting to group with each other and talking to each other and saying, you know what, man, let's try to help private businesses more, you know, instead of just bowing down to these big corporations. Let's actually try to help each other. And, you know, This guy has a business and that guy has a business. Hey, man, let's do something.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
Well, I've always advocated for that, but it gets harder and harder every day. Back in the 90s when the Walmart supercenters were taking over in every small town and they were putting out all the mom and pop businesses who sold any particular thing that was in the Walmart, I made an effort to buy things in the mom and pop stores, and it didn't help. You know, people are, especially when money's tight, people are going to go and they're going to buy wherever they can get the thing they want cheapest. It's a real hard, I mean, I agree with you, we need to do that, but it's a real hard battle to fight. It's real hard to convince people, especially now that, like, you know, if you live in a small town, they may have already put the hardware store and the paint store and who knows what all out of, and, you know, several clothing stores and things out of business. The Walmart's already put them out.
Yeah, that is true.
Well, all right. Well, thanks for the call, Bear Frost.
Yeah, I don't want to keep you too long. Thank you very much, Asin. I hope everyone doesn't get upset for the questions I was asking, man.
Well, if they do.
Want to have a little conversation.
If they do, I guess they don't be Karens. Don't get upset. All right. Later, man. What do you think about the old Karen meme, Ace? And Reverend Chad, I'm going to implore you again. If you want to call in, raise your hand. The thing automatically puts your hand down after a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Karen is an anti-white slur. And, you know, we have the other ones. We have Shaniqua and whatever else. But, yeah, it's just a way to justify that, you know, poor service is okay. And if you speak out against it, you know, you're a Karen. You're the bad person in the equation. I think it's bullshit, honestly.
Yeah. Okay, we've got... Well, we've got one Spurg chat, it looks like. Bear for All Seasons asks, can you ask him how loud the horns are? That's referring to Reverend Chad Kroger, who it appears is no longer in a position to call in. So I'm going to give it like 30 more seconds if anybody wants to call in. If not, we're going to do our final housekeeping and close the stream out. And it's been a particularly good stream as far as tonight and last night, as far as things seem to have improved on the connection end. Of course, it's going to disconnect on us now that I said it, I'm sure. But
you're playing with fire there.
Yeah, yeah. Your girlfriend says, if you don't like the trash Section 8 apartments built in your suburbs, litter on the ground, and crime we brought to your town, leave. Well, anyway, everybody make sure that you are following the official
Crypto Report Telegram, which Uncle Ted has just posted the link, and I will have that link posted. It's in the description. The last couple of times I've put a description, I put make sure and join it, and I forgot to put the link. But the link is in the description to this video, and I will also pin it as the pinned post so people can go join it. Make sure that you follow the Dutchland Telegram, official Telegram channel. Make sure that you follow the Green Room Telegram channel. Make sure that you are following the following Odyssey channels. This one, of course, if you, it does not make you a Sigma male to listen and not, and not sign up for Odyssey and join. People think it makes them a Sigma male, but I'm telling you, it doesn't. I'm not sure I even believe in the whole Sigma male thing. Anything that was come up with by Vox Day has a taint of, well, something I can't say about it. It makes you a beta male if you don't sign up for Odyssey and join the channel. Also, don't be shy. Don't be shy on hitting that super chat, that tip button. You can do it even when we're not live. You can do hyper chats, which is if you post a comment on the video once the replay is up, you can click the hyper chat button and donate either LBC or cash. And you can also do it directly to the channel. It all helps. We are listener funded, as they say, and nothing else. What am I forgetting, Ace? I guess I got everything in there. Oh, the Odyssey channels. Make sure and follow Dutchland. Make sure and follow Tony. Make sure and follow the Green Room. You will enjoy all these things. They will make your life better, richer, more wonderful. So I guess, Ace, let me check and make sure nobody's got their hand up. Nope, nobody's got their hand up. That's going to be it for tonight. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We love you guys. No homo. And all you Canadians, make sure and keep everything on an even keel. Don't let people convince you to do something stupid suddenly. We'll see you guys again Wednesday, if not sooner. Good night, everybody.
I got a cute little gal in every eastern town, from Boston to St. Louis. There's some that I don't even know, but I'm looking forward to, cause I like my women everywhere I go. So roll on big wheels, don't you roll so slow. Peggy Ann is waiting in Memphis, and Betty Lou in Maine. I got a good old gal in Knoxville, but man, I forgot her name, but not her figure. I remember that. Yeah, I'm a kiss stealing, a wheeling dealing, a truck driving son of a gun. Well, there goes Joe, flying low, making up his time. But from where I sit, I don't believe you'd say I'm wasting mine. I'm moving faster than a Jimmy 8. If you think I'm losing time, you're running late. I got a steady little baby waiting back home for me. But there are six more towns to go till I'm back in Tennessee. And six more women, at least I know. Yeah, I'm a kiss-stealing, wheeling-dealing, a truck-driving son of a gun.